My introduction may be a little more like a Bhagavatam class, but what to do? We all know that we're in the holy Dham. A Dham, or a holy place like Varsana and Vrindavan, Siddha Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, they are very mysterious places. They are called tirthas because, and tirtha literally means threshold, because it's between two different, completely different realms, the spiritual realm and the material realm. Like the doorway is the threshold between everything outside and everything inside. So here, Varsana is not different from the spiritual world, from the eternal Varsana. But yet, there's bad sewage and everyone's honking their horns and people are screaming and fighting and this and that. And there. So you have this side that appears to be very, very different from the spiritual world, then you have that side, which really is the spiritual world. And in the Dham, we can touch both sides. And what we want to do during our time here is really extend ourselves and touch the spiritual side, because it is so close, it is right here. And this, I can promise you, that Krishna and the mercy of Srimati Radharani can and will touch you. Miracles happen here continuously. The touch, the spiritual touch, will come to you. So we want to have our consciousness proper to be touched by the spiritual realm. This is what we are all longing for on our different levels of advancement. We want to be touched, absorbed on that level. So there's unlimited possibilities here to have to experience the touch and of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti rasita bhavata umati. So when I was thinking about this, I looked at one verse that described one person, one devotee of Krishna's entry into Vrindavan, and it reminded me that we should know the proper way to enter a Dham. So there's a mixed blessing with all the technology that we have, because we can get on a plane and in one day, in 12 hours, we can be in some cold western country or something, and then suddenly in 12 hours or 14 hours or 16 hours, we're suddenly in Varsana. And of course, that's a blessing, but there is a curse attached to it, and the curse is that our body arrives in Varsana and then our mind arrives 3 or 4 days later. And that obviously isn't ideal. And there we are in a plane, and the movies are there, and this materialistic thing is going on, and that materialistic thing. But there is someone who I'm going to read about. I'm a little afraid to mention his name because he's very unpopular in Vrindavan, especially in Varsana and Nandagaon. I may not even mention it. But when he entered Vrindavan, he set the ideal for the way to enter. Now, when I started, this was all secondary to really what I wanted to say, but the Bhagavatam is so absorbing and so instructive that I got caught by this mysterious way that Akrura entered and how, what he did with his consciousness first, because he was sent by terrible Kamsa with a terrible mission to bring Krishna to be killed, and he even knew this. He even knew why he was coming, and even the first thing he did when he saw Krishna practically in Balaram, he told him, the Kamsa's planning to bring you, to have you killed. And of course, Krishna and Balaram just laughed. He knew that Kamsa was calling Krishna because he was going to be killed. So Akura went on this mission. What interests us is his consciousness, because everything, what we do depends on consciousness. Everything depends on our consciousness. And this is so important to keep in mind as we are here chanting Krishna's holy names in this holy place. Everything depends on consciousness and mercy, of course. So Akura, he was thinking, the essence of what he was doing, he was thinking about Krishna as he was coming. He was thinking about Krishna. He was thinking about Krishna's lotus feet. He says that simply by the effulgence, and think of how this applies to you and what your personal needs and desires are. Simply by the effulgence of Krishna's toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved his lotus feet. Those lotus feet, Akura says, are worshipped by the topmost persons in this world. He's thinking about Krishna's lotus feet. In previous times, people would take them weeks and even months to arrive in a holy place. It took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even 21 days to arrive in Jagannath Puri. And they would walk from Bengal to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the whole time the idea is growing in their mind, I'm coming to Vrindavan. I'm coming into the place of Krishna's pastimes. I'm coming to the place that is marked by the lotus feet of Krishna. That idea is growing and building in the consciousness. So the time, it's just the opposite of what we do. Their consciousness arrives weeks before their body arrives. Because of this absorption, this thinking about Krishna. And then he started thinking that I'm going to see the face of Mukunda. That face, and he's thinking about Krishna's curly hair and his beautiful, attractive cheeks and his smiling glances and his lotus eyes. I'm going to see him. He is the source of all beauty. Just think of how beautiful Krishna is. And whoever, akshanvantam phalamidam, seeing Krishna is the perfection of all existence, he thinks. He is the cause of everything in the material world, the cause of all causes. And he dispels the darkness, all darkness, his form, his beauty, dispels all darkness and confusion. How many days and hours of my life and years and months do I spend in darkness and confusion? Practically, it's all of it. So he's thinking that Krishna is the cause of this. And having our consciousness absorbed in Krishna dispels all that darkness. And confusion, how confused I become from moment to moment about what is important and what is insignificant. And it's Krishna's form that can dispel that. All sins, listen to this one. All sins are destroyed, and all our suffering comes from sins. And all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, his activities, his appearances, and his words that describe these things. The words that describe his beauty, his qualities, they purify the entire world. And any other words that are bereft or empty of his glories are like decorations on a dead body, a corpse, same as Bhagavatam Canto 2. So what a fortune we have in our life, but right now to be absorbed as we move forward on our own pilgrimage. That Supreme Lord resides in Vrindavan. He spreads his fame by his glorious pastimes. And his fame brings auspiciousness to all. And then he says, I shall see him. And seeing Krishna brings all jubilation, happiness of heart spontaneously to everyone who has eyes. He is the true beauty of the universe. And now, because today my life has been leading to this point, and Akura was an old man before he saw Krishna. My life has been leading to this point, and now this every sunrise that has taken place in my life has become auspicious. It has meaning. Otherwise, useless. And when I see Krishna, what will I do? This is constant meditation. The beauty of Krishna. What will I do when I see Krishna? What a meditation. Did you ever think of that one? When I finally see Krishna, what will I do? What will I say? While meditating on his form, Akura says, I will get off my chariot and I will bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna, what will he do? He will place his lotus hand upon my head. And that hand of Krishna is so powerful that because of the benedictions of that hand, Bali attained the whole universe, the status of Indra. And he's sure that Krishna won't consider him an enemy, even though he's coming on Kamsa's mission. Why? Because Krishna knows his heart. Think about that Krishna knows his heart, and my heart, and your heart, and your heart, and your heart, and your heart. He knows everything in your heart. And he still likes us. That's the most amazing part. Just imagine if everything, if there was a loudspeaker connected from my mind to the outside world. He is the knower of everything. This is something to keep important. He knows all the endeavors that we make to please him. When we're chanting, there'll be so many challenging times. Our business is to endeavor. And he sees that, the endeavor. He will see me as an intimate friend. He will embrace me with his mighty arms, and I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms. Then my life's purpose will be fulfilled. He lovingly reciprocates with everyone according to the mood in which they approach him. Here we have such a chance in these days. And then Balaram will take my hand and he will take me to his house and he will ask me how my family is doing. So in this way, Akura spent his entire journey to Braja. And then, finally, as he was on the chariot, he saw the footprints of Krishna in the dust of Vrindavan. You were saying when we were in Puri that the mercy in Vrindavan comes from the dust, because it is marked with the footprints of Krishna. So when Akura saw that, he jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about in those footprints, saying, "Oh, this is the dust from my master's feet. This is the dust from my master's feet." He rolled and rolled on the ground. And next is the verse that I started thinking of when I wanted to. A wonderful verse. It starts, "Deham brityami han orto." This very goal of life that Akura saw, the dust of Krishna and rolling in that dust, this very goal of life for all embodied beings, each and every one of us, is the goal of life, is this ecstasy which Akura experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all his pride, he put aside all his fear, he put aside all his lamentation. This is the great challenge of us while we're here in this threshold space. And instead of absorbing himself in that, which is what I usually do every day, my anxiety, my pride, my fear, my lamentation, and instead of that, he absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Krishna. That is our job here, our mission. Now, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's comments to this verse are so wonderful. I won't read them all. But he gave up his pride, thinking, "I'm a minister," and this is a young boy. He's a cowherd boy, and "I'm a minister." He gave up his pride. He gave up his fear of Kamsa. "You're rolling in the dust of my enemy. I will kill you and your family." He gave up his lamentation and worrying about what his family members would think. And he gave up all fear of criticism. And here is the last short paragraph of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says about this verse. Please listen carefully. "By hearing and remembering the glories of Hari that he had heard from Narada, Akura expressed an intense desire to serve Krishna. Similarly, a devotee should think, 'When will I serve Krishna in this way? And when will I get the good fortune to see my beloved Lord?'" That is the end of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, explaining that this is the end of life, the end of one's life, to experience this kind of ecstasy. We should prepare our minds very carefully. Another verse that says something very similar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw the impersonalist Mayavadi sannyasis of Benares, they said, "Why don't you study Vedanta with us? Instead, you're engaged in chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist, a foolish person." And Mahaprabhu replied that his teacher, his Guru Maharaj, Sripad Ishwara Puri, had said, "Toman ahika Vedanta adhikar." You don't have the qualification to study Vedanta, but instead, Krishna mantra japa sada. You should always chant Krishna mantra, because a mantra sar, it is the essence. It is Krishna. It is the essence. And then Mahaprabhu chanted that mantra and became ecstatic. And he was rolling on the ground and laughing and crying. He went to his spiritual master and said, "What kind of mantra have you given me that has turned me into a madman like this? Like a Krura rolling on the ground." And then Sripada Ishwara Puri Mahaprabhu says, told him, "Very good, my boy, very good. You have pleased me by developing this type of prema bhakti. This is how to please one spiritual master. Keep on chanting in this way." Then Mahaprabhu said that Sripada Ishwara Puri taught him one verse that he said was the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole 18,000 or so verses in one verse. What is that verse? It's a wonderful verse. And it wasn't, when I read this, it wasn't what I expected at all. He taught him this verse again and again and instructed him about it and taught him the meaning again and again. And Mahaprabhu learned everything the first time, and yet he taught him again and again and again. And this is the verse. Evam vrata siya pramat siya swapriyanamakirtya jatan uraga juta chitti uchai asatyato rodita rauti gayati unmalavan rityati lokabhaya. This means that when one takes evam vrata, the vow to chant and dance, what? Swapriya Nama Kirtya, the names of the Lord that are especially dear to us. And in this way, Jata, Anurag, he will develop Anurag, affection, an attachment to his Lord. He will develop that which we so deeply desire, affection and attachment for Krishna and Srimati Radharani service in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the result has, and he will chant loudly. Hasat, he will laugh. He will cry. He will roll about on the ground like a madman, dancing, not caring lokabhaya, what anyone thinks. This is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what the Bhagavatam wishes to teach us. Now, in Srila Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the process, what is required in the process to achieve this very advanced goal and very advanced result. I won't read the whole comment of Srila Jiva Goswami on Rupa Goswami's verse, but he says that we must, he says that bhakti is so durlabha on this platform of bhava. It is very rare. Why is it rare? We chant and chant and chant, chant and chant and chant, and I don't get this result. Why is it so rare? And Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami explains, and Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain that because the chanting and the process of bhakti must be done with attachment to Krishna. And the result of all our sadhana, attempts at sadhana, should be attachment to Krishna. He says that it has to be expertly done. And that means, and this is one of the hardest parts, is that it must be done anyabi lasita sanyam. It must be done with no other attachment. We must do it. We must chant with attachment to Krishna and not attached to my computer, my mobile phone, and my bank account, and my body, and my family's body. We must develop attachment to Krishna, focused attachment. And Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sundarbha a very important point. He says the reason, and he says the only reason we don't get the result in chanting, this result, is aparad, offenses. Criticism of devotees, this offense, that offense. So we should, especially during our time here, we should keep very focused about why we have come and what is actually to be obtained in this very holy place where miracles do happen. I remember last retreat, at the end we asked the devotees to say what their most memorable experience was, and one Mataji said she was at Terakadamba and chanting and getting so much mercy, and she thought, okay Krishna, whatever it takes to make me love you, please do it. And then suddenly she saw a snake and she thought, oh no, what did I say? She told us this. What I would say the purpose of our japa retreat, I've listed just 7 things that I thought of. It should entice us, lure us to go deeper and take steps towards Krishna, but hope for miracles. If we can just get a drop of a taste in the holy names, get a drop of mercy, we can get these things. We should be encouraged. If we can get some encouragement to go deeper in our japa, in our Krishna consciousness, and continue that going deeper. If we can increase our longing to actually be a devotee, to actually become Krishna conscious. And to increase our sense that Krishna consciousness, it's actually real. That Krishna is the supreme, all-powerful Lord, and yet he's a coward boy. And yet he's subservient to the love of Srimati Radharani, and that he will take care of us. This is actually a very heavy one for a conditioned soul. That if I give myself to him, and I serve him, that he will actually protect me and care for me. I heard Prabhupada say in a lecture recently that the purpose of reading all the books is to increase our faith that Krishna is all merciful and all powerful. And then we will be able to surrender unto him. This, for a fortunate soul, can take one moment. So, to increase our sense of the reality for that it's true, and to increase our humility, because that is the gateway to taking shelter of Krishna's names and to making advancement. I'll just end. Thank you very much for listening very attentively. I'll end in the BBT purport to that verse, Evam Vratasa Priyanama Kirtya. There's a mention that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that we study one verse from the Padyavali. And here is the verse. I'll just read the English translation. Talkative people will criticize us. We don't care. We will drink the intoxicating nectar of love for Lord Hari, and we will go completely mad with intoxication. We will roll about on the ground. We will dance. We will experience ecstasy. So we wish everyone a good retreat, and Hare Krishna, retreat into the holy name. Maharaj, would you be so kind as to please speak now?